Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, February 20th, and we're back here with you for the last day this week.
Your favorite day.
My favorite day. And for those of you who do not listen regularly, Jen does know I love Friday, and she does not argue with that.
No.
She actually loves Fridays too, right?
I do. I really do.
Yeah, what's wrong with Friday, man? You know, it's like you look back, you say, I've had a productive week. Now I get to rest.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that's like, the weekend. No,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Not for me.
I know. So whoever invented the weekend was a genius.
I think they should add an extra day.
You think, huh?
Yeah. It should definitely be a 3-day weekend, always.
Yeah, that's true. It just depends. You know, many countries, there's only one day.
What?
Yeah. Like in some European countries, they only get Sunday. And I can tell you, in Israel, they only have Saturday. But now they've added, like, half of the country doesn't work Friday either. But it's not like an official thing.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, 2 days, I'll take 3 days. But that's half the week, Jen. When would we be working, you know?
I think we just need to be more efficient when we do work.
Okay. Would you work, like, 4-day weeks if you had to work, like, 10 to 12 hours every day?
I don't know.
Well,
that
you
I would...
don't work 8 hours now, so
right. I work 1 hour a day.
I guess I just meant office work. You know.
You know what though? I think that there's a lot of people that take a lot of time to do something that they can do in a shorter amount of time, but because they know they're supposed to be in the office for set hours,
that's true.
They stretch it out, and they, you know, they get into that habit where you can actually be more productive in the time you're there, and then you can leave.
Right, that's true. I guess it depends on your work ethic. You
right.
Know? With me, it's always like I get caught up with the work, and then I was left with nothing to do. So in a couple of jobs, I was so productive that I actually, you know, like dropped my own job because I would tell them, I said, look, you know, I don't have anything to do. I can't sit here. You don't need me here for all these hours. So, yeah, you know, but I can't just sit and not do anything.
Right.
I don't know how people can do that, you know, just like mess around.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that's why I work for myself now, so I don't have to worry about it. I never have free time now. I'm always productive.
But you like it that way, don't you?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I like it because I can take a nap in the afternoon. I can come and go as I please. But the price, Jen, is I stay up till 3:30 in the morning, you know. Today it was hard to get up, let me tell you. 4.5 hours of sleep doesn't cut it.
No,
know?
I think I had probably 5 hours. So
5 hours?
Yeah.
Why, you went to sleep late too?
I did. I went to my friend's boyfriend's concert last night. And then when we were up pretty late, like after celebrating, because it was a great show, sold out at the El Rey.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So he must have been happy.
Very happy.
Wow.
It's a very nice group of people. The band is called Milo Green.
Milo Green?
Yeah.
Is it pretty, I mean, is it a good band?
Very good.
In your eyes, yeah?
I love them. I've actually seen them like 8 times now.
Wow.
A
so
couple
you're a big
times,
fan.
Yeah, a couple times even before my friend started dating one of the musicians in the band.
Really?
Yeah, they're really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd probably appreciate them more if I knew the music scene of today. But are they pretty famous? I mean, do people know about them?
They're like kind of like indie rock.
Right. So it's more like a local band. They're known more locally, you think?
They're known internationally. They tour
oh, really?
All over. But you don't really hear them on the radio all
right.
that much.
Right. Many artists you don't hear on the radio. But then again, it's not that important anymore.
Right.
You've got
exactly.
iTunes and all that, you know. So
yeah. They play a lot of music festivals. They're kind of big in that arena, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Many bands are like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're better live. Well, that's cool. So, where was it at? The El Rey?
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's on Wilshire near La Brea, I think.
Oh, okay. That's one I never heard of before.
Oh, it's famous. Very famous.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it shows you. You know, I've lived here for so many years. There's still a lot of places I don't know. You know, this city is so big.
It is.
That some places you never make it to, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you hang out in that area sometimes, like go to the museums and stuff down there? It's cool.
Yeah, huh? I love it.
And Miracle Mile area.
I have a couple friends that live over there. Lauren lives over there.
Oh, yeah?
And I love going to jazz at the LACMA on Fridays. It starts again in April.
Really?
Yeah, can't wait.
Oh, wow. What is that, like a weekly concert thing?
It's free jazz, like from 5 to 8 on Fridays. Wow.
Is it indoors or
outdoors?
Outdoors.
Mm-hmm. And you can bring wine and a picnic, and like it's just really fun. A bunch of people sitting outside.
Yeah.
Listening to jazz.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what was funny? Last night, you mentioned Milo Green, and it brought up Green in my head. You know CeeLo Green and his new song, like F You?
Oh, that's then, not very new.
It's not very...
No,
well,
that's
it's new
very
for
old.
Me, okay?
When I said it's not very new, it's very old.
Okay, well, you embarrass me sometimes.
Sorry.
I embarrass myself, I guess. But no, it's so I mean, I just saw it the other day and then I heard it, right? And it kind of is like, it's a catchy song.
Very.
So I was at Rite Aid last night and I'm hearing that song play. I'm going, I wonder who made that choice of song to play in a family shop, in a family store. Mm. So then I paid attention to it and they actually like bleeped the word every time. So it was a radio version or something.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean, that's the title of the song. You know, you don't play it at Rite Aid. So it was funny how they probably let the music stream. They don't even know what's going to play on it.
Well, I mean, I guess. But that is bleeped out. So and it's been on the radio forever.
Yeah, so, they bleep it out on the radio too?
Yeah.
Oh, so they do play it on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm sure in many carpools across the country, children are probably hearing that song.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just a cheap attempt at getting the song popular, don't you think, by putting the F word in it?
I guess.
I mean, because
there's a lot worse in songs.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they play it on the radio. They can't really play it the way he sings it.
Right.
You know, so... I don't know. It just said, I don't get it, you know. But you're right. But then again, is he like a rapper too or something?
Yeah.
Because this song is not rap. But okay, so
he's more of like a singer producer. I would say he sings. I don't think he raps.
Right. You see, I only know him from The Voice, right?
Yeah.
He's been
around for a really long time.
Right.
He was in a band called Gnarls Barkley.
Uh huh.
And. I don't know. I mean, he's been around for a while. He definitely produces a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. So he doesn't really need that kind of a gimmick, but I guess he did. I guess he felt the need to come out with a song like that.
All of his songs are pretty catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. One of his songs is called, like, Crazy, or I forget how it goes. Something like, I'm going crazy.
Uh-huh.
His songs are all very catchy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever watch The Voice?
I used to. I was very into The Voice. I really liked it when Shakira was on it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that into Christina Aguilera, and I really wasn't into Gwen Stefani.
Right.
So I lost interest.
Yeah.
And it's a big commitment. I would say, like, these musical shows, they are so many nights a week, and they're for 2 hours every time.
And it goes on for weeks.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's even 3 nights a week because they'll have, like, 2 nights of performances, and then the third night is an elimination night. I'm like, I cannot commit that much time in my life to this show.
Yeah.
There are so many shows on right now that I have to watch, and just that one alone is taking up 6 hours of my week.
Oh, God. That's true.
So.
It's a lot.
I had to, you know, cut some things out of my life. That was one of them.
Wow.
But I still think it's a really good show. If you like music, that's a really good show.
Yeah. I saw a preview for the new Survivor. Do you still watch it sometimes?
I've never watched it.
You never watched Survivor?
Wow.
I used to watch it in the beginning. I loved it. But then it gets repetitive. You know, it's the same.
Right. Survives, right? Or they try.
It's usually games and things like that. And the same stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people conniving behind each other's backs. And, you know, so, but I guess the upcoming one is 3 teams, you know, like blue collar, white collar, no collar. So... Yeah, so it looks pretty good.
So are you going to watch it?
Probably not. Yeah, maybe I will. I have to commit to it because the only show I watch ended last night, 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I see here the headline is 2 and a Half Men finale takes down Sheen. Now, I only watched half of it last night, so don't tell me what this headlight means, because I still don't know if he's going to show up.
I read the article, so I know.
Did you read the article? Yeah. Okay. But I still don't know, because they're talking about him the whole show, and they're alluding to him still being alive rather than dead, because they killed him off on the show.
Right.
When he left. So, or when they kicked him out. So, so I don't know if he's going to show up or not. They talked about it. You know, at the same time, the producer who had the fight with Charlie says that it's a pretty dark point in his life, you know. So I don't know if I were him, I don't know if I'd be able to forgive Charlie. You know, I mean, he said some nasty things, some hurtful things. So I don't know. But then again, for the sake of money and attention, they might just do it, so I don't know. But don't tell me.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to watch the Oscars?
You know me and award shows. I have it on, and then I just kind of walk by and see what's going on. But I have you to count on.
Yes.
And
I will be watching.
Yeah.
Well, I have family dinner on Sunday night. We're actually celebrating my uncle's 5-year anniversary of being cancer-free.
Wow.
So
congratulations.
Thank you. I suggested that we all dress up for the Oscars to celebrate him and watch the Oscars together. So we're wearing our fancy pajamas.
What? Yeah, I was going to say all dress up and sit at home, you know.
Exactly. So that's what we'll be doing. We'll be watching the Oscars together, and I'm sure I'll be live tweeting it. So if anybody wants to follow along, you can follow me on Twitter at Jennifer Golden.
Yeah. You should definitely do hosting there. I can totally see you on the red carpet and stuff.
You know what? I actually hate red carpet reporting.
Why?
Because I don't care what people are wearing.
Yeah.
And I don't care like who they're most excited to see. Uh-huh. And I like interviews like in here, like everybody's like just talking, and it's kind of everyone's on the same level, I would say, you know. So when you're red carpet reporting, it's like you're like hurrying to get 5 seconds with somebody as they pass by, and it's like for me the most demeaning thing. You feel like a peasant among royalty.
That's true.
To get 5 seconds to know who they're wearing.
I know. And they treat you like you're nobody, you know.
Because you are. You're literally in a line
compared to them, with
a microphone, and they don't even have a clue, and they have to talk to you.
Right.
Or they don't. They'll just walk right by, like, you don't even
exist.
That's
true. That makes sense, yeah.
So I don't personally like that. There are people that love red carpet reporting.
Right. Yeah, because they're enamored with celebrities, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, and just like getting a clip with a celebrity, and that means everything. And for me, I'm just like, not my thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk to them, if anything, like sitting, having some coffee, maybe a drink.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, so you'll fill us in on the Oscars. I'm sure I'll know by then who won and all that.
There was an interesting report this morning on the Today Show about previous Oscar winners and who people now would pick if they, like, could re-vote.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Forrest Gump won 1 year, but they're saying Shawshank Redemption should have actually won.
Okay.
And, like, if they were going to do a whole re-vote, who else was it? There were, like, a bunch of them. You could probably watch it on the Today Show.
Yeah.
They have it on the website. But it was fascinating to see who they would actually pick now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, very cool.
Oh, and, like, I forget who won 1 year, but they're saying Brokeback Mountain should have won. Oh, instead of Crash.
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain was like ahead of its time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, although Crash was a pretty good movie.
It was.
Yeah, I liked it because we live in L.A. That's where it was taking place. But, yeah, you know, you just brought up something and I totally forgot. Never mind. Okay, anyway, enough of that. We have a special guest in the studio. We're going to bring her in right now. We have Jodi Labossiere, right?
That is correct.
Okay, awesome. I had to practice the name all day. And, luckily, you left me a message and you pronounced it, so I knew I was right.
Yes, I've had everything from Le Boozer or Labossiere.
Yeah, Le Boozer, right?
Le Boozer's close.
So, Labossiere, obviously French, right? Is this like Canadian or French?
French-Canadian, and it was the only thing I got in the divorce.
Really? Yes. The name?
The name.
Okay, cool.
But it's a good name.
You must have liked it, if you kept it, you know.
I did, yeah.
How long have you been divorced now?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know.
Really? 10, okay, so.
50. Forever. I mean, the last husband? Okay. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
There's been more than one.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. That's how it usually is. I have more than one, too, or had more than one. I have exes, two exes. So. Well, welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you.
We were told about you by the publicist, I guess, right?
Yes.
And so are you like doing a tour for your book right now? Or
he kind of has me. I'm like, he's very good. Josh has been amazing. And yes, I've already done two other interviews this morning, and I was driving up from to get here.
Really?
On the phone.
From this
interviewing
morning.
The wow. breakfast and doing stuff. And now here I am. So yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming. You came from a distance. Not too far. I mean, you're not that crazy, but you came at least far enough to see us.
Oh, well, which, you know what? I'm in the LA adjacent area in Orange County, but we don't go by miles anymore. We go by how long it takes to get there.
Exactly. That's how it is in LA, right? We don't measure distances, but time.
Yeah.
But it shows you the correlation between time and distance,
yep.
which is what Einstein discovered.
That's when you know you're a local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all little Einsteins here in LA trying to figure out how to get anywhere. So, Jody, tell us what it is that you do.
I do so many things.
I know. I did notice that. I mean, she's totally multi-talented.
I am like a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, huh?
I'm jack of all trades and master of all of them. Uh-huh. So I try to be, but... right now, what am I doing? I have my book, In Your Face, A Badass Lifestyle Guide to the Empowered Woman, which it's a bestseller on Amazon. So I've been promoting that. I'm a beauty expert. I'm the expert's expert when it comes to beauty. I've been in the beauty game for about 30 years. I started when I was an embryo.
Yeah.
And I've done everything. So I've done in front of the camera, modeled, makeup, production, TV, everything. Right down to cosmetic chemistry, and I even have a license in aesthetics. So I'm into everything that makes people beautiful.
Amazing, amazing. And so you've been a model and pageants and stuff like that, so I guess you've always been exposed to that. You've always been aware of the way you look, of the way people look.
It's interesting because, yes, and people, as I always say, it's not my job to judge, but it is my hobby.
Uh-huh.
And people, no matter what you say, it's like, don't judge me or people shouldn't judge. People judge. The minute you walk in a room, you have about 3 seconds and people size you up and they're making a judgment call.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I make decisions in 3 seconds.
Right.
Sometimes less.
And you liked me immediately.
Yeah, I did. I did. No, I mean, you can get an aura from people, I think, you know. And there's also chemistry and stuff, you know. And not just in romantic relationships, but people have to have chemistry in order to get along. You know, there's got to be some kind of a mutual ground that they connect on, sometimes unconscious.
Right. Well, that's actually one of the things I do is teach people how to build rapport. And it's interesting that you can build rapport with someone without them knowing that you're doing it. There's techniques like mirroring and matching and really fun things that I like to just mess with people.
Wow, very cool.
Show up at happy hour and just start talking to someone.
Yeah. So it's more than just skin deep. I mean, you're going mm-hmm. deeper into beauty, inner beauty, and attitude. And
yeah, it's definitely an attitude of beauty because a lot of people don't know about me. I actually have celiac disease, and with the celiacs, I get the fabulous is called dermatitis herpetiformis. It's basically I'm the elephant man. So if I have celiac, I look like a burn victim from head to toe. And when this started coming out about 20 years ago, I was a swimwear model, and all of a sudden I look like a burn victim from head to toe. I'm like,
wow.
Well, maybe this isn't going to be the career for me. What am I going to do? And you go from being seen as beautiful and seeing a completely different way, and it's like you really needed to start thinking about it. It's like it's not just about how you look,
right?
So, and that's really what I do now, because it's not just how you look, but the confidence people have comes from how they look. So even if someone has, you know, I'll look at them like, are you kidding me, it's just a little this or that blemish. So like they think it's like the biggest thing ever. I'm like, it's nothing. But it can really make a difference in how you feel and how you enter a room or how you do things.
Really? So people that have like things about themselves they don't like, they should probably take a step and do something if they can, right? Like if they have a mole they don't like or things like that.
You can, you know, anything cosmetically, because, I mean, I had these scars, and I literally did competitions after that. I went in full body makeup, and I'm like, winna, winna. So
yeah.
It doesn't, that really doesn't matter, but It's not even about how you look on the outside. Obviously, to do stuff like that, you still have to look a certain way. But if you're not confident or comfortable with who you are on the inside, if you don't know who you are and feel good about who you are, it doesn't matter how you look.
Right.
I mean, I know supermodels, literally supermodels, that this day, like now, they were top models in the 90s, and they're just like, oh, I don't know, I can't do. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, huh?
you were a supermodel. You are a supermodel.
Right.
So
they kind of, so you think when they lose their attitude, the good attitude, they lose their looks as well?
Hey, it's still gorgeous, but
yeah.
Let's just face it. We're in the land, like LA, come on. There's a lot of good-looking girls out here, but yeah. Not so many beautiful women.
That's true. I have to remember that one. But what did you, so you moved here, right, from another place? Where did
yes.
you move from?
I moved from Winnipeg, Canada.
So you weren't, so you did live in Canada. It's not just the last name of a man you met here.
I grew up there.
Oh, you grew up in Canada.
I was born and bred.
Right.
And it was 59 below, and I said, I'm never spending another winter here again.
59 below.
Yikes.
I can't even imagine what it's like.
No, we were the coldest place on earth for a week straight.
Wow.
And I was just like, and my girlfriend from California called, and she's like, oh, it's 72 and sunny. I'm like, oh, screw you.
Wow.
So when did you move here?
I moved here. Actually, it's been 10 years now. So I've just gone on my 10th year, and it was fabulous. That's when I got my divorce.
Uh-huh.
I got a divorce. I kept the name. I moved down here with two suitcases, two cats in my car, and got a studio in Burbank.
Amazing. I mean, had you been here before in L.A.?
I had friends that lived, you know, more Ventura,
right,
Santa Barbara area.
But you've been to this area, right?
Yeah.
Right. Wow, it's pretty pretty brave. Now, I mean, to move so far, but I won't ask you why, because obviously the weather was one of the top reasons, right?
Well, and the dating pool had dried up.
Really?
I mean, it was done.
So after you get divorced, you realized I better move here and find the new man.
Better get into a different pool.
But how was dating in L.A. going for you?
I have a wonderful person in my life now, and we've been together almost 9 years.
Oh, wow.
So you never got to sample the dating scene.
Oh, I did sample the dating scene.
Yeah?
I did. I tried. And it was fun.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, I was all about having fun at that time, so.
Amazing. And so it doesn't sound like you're married now. You kind of learned from a past experience, or?
We've both been married multiple times, and
right.
We have realized if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There you go.
So.
There you go.
And we're out of the institution, then we're going to stay out.
Exactly. Are you guys planning on having kids or anything?
Oh, my Lord, no. We're
no.
both past this.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, usually when you get married when you want to have a family, you know, and so there's a little framework for the kids and everything, but there's no need to get married.
Not in this.
You know, I mean, what for, you know? Sometimes you're in a relationship where you're not married and it's longer than your marriage lasted, you know? So
I know people that were in a really long relationship, got married, and then got divorced
right.
almost immediately after.
Right.
Then they were done.
And why do you think that is?
I think marriage changes the tone. There's something, I don't know, it's going to cost you to keep me. It's going to cost you to get rid of me. There's just kind of a...
Ugh. There's nothing romantic about that.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, you have to work hard at keeping a relationship romantic, I think, because eventually, and, you know, I mean, look, it's the ideal. You know, everybody would like to think that it works like that. But, you know, people grow old together. They love each other, but it's not like they're in love romantically. You know, that kind of fades, don't you think?
I think you know, and actually my boyfriend and I, I'll say my CSO, my committed significant other, and I discuss this over wine constantly, that you need to have a common future that you're living into. And we both have our lives, but we both enjoy spending time together.
Right.
And, I mean, he's amazing. He's wonderful. So,
well, that's cool. If you can still say that after 9 years, you're very fortunate.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
he
not
lets
many
me cheat
relationships.
At golf.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about the book. The book is called In Your Face, The Badass Lifestyle Guide for the Empowered Woman. That's a lot of words, but you promise a lot. And so tell us a little bit about the book. What's the book about?
Well, the book really is, and I always, it's just kind of one of these things. It's like people are always thinking something.
Uh-huh.
And my friends say, I have a tendency to say it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it's like, do those words just come out of your mouth? I'm like, well, yep, they did. Sorry. Not sorry.
Didn't get filtered, huh?
There is no filter, especially after a couple of glasses of wine. I have a friend who insists I have wine. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. Do you have at least two glasses in?
Really,
I don't want the filter.
I relate. I have a show called Two Drunk Girls.
Right?
Yeah.
On YouTube. Another alcohol-related incident.
Yeah.
Which is a chapter in my book. So.
I'm going to have to read that.
But the whole book, there's some beauty tips. There's some exercise tips. There's things about, I have The Real Reason You're Not Married Yet is a chapter. Because mm-hmm. you're a bitch. You know,
is that usually the case?
You know what? A lot of girls I know now that aren't married, if I wanted to get married, I'm sure I can pretty much find a man who would marry me.
That's true.
You know, but they tell me there's certain things. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But I need right. this, I need this, I need this. It's like, well, you need a man who's financially stable. You need a man who will treat you nice. You need a man who will be a good dad. But you want him to be 6'4". You want him to be a billionaire. You want him to, you know.
Right.
I'm like, make up your mind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I went to an event called the Great Love Debate. And we were also talking about why everybody's still single in that room. Not everybody in the world. But yeah, we were talking a lot about checklists and things like that, you know, where it's like it doesn't make sense. He started saying, who would go... you know, how close would you date to where you live? 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles. And people start, you know, thinking about that. You know, it's like, okay, I won't go more than 10 miles from where I live. So he's like, well, you just eliminated 70% of the...
Right, but we're in L.A.
Yeah.
You can't go more than 10 miles.
No. That's like a road trip.
Right.
You have to literally pack a bag and, like, fill your gas tank.
They're geographically undesirable.
Exactly.
We all are, exactly. And, you know, and you find people on different sides of town. The same with the job, you know. People find jobs totally far from where they live. They have to drive a lot, but it's part of life here, you know. So, but, you know, I also think that in modern society, we expect our spouse to be, the wife. You expect her to be your mother, your sister, your friend, your lover, your maid, your whore, your everything, you know. And... You know, I mean,
beloved whore.
Yeah, you know. And, yeah, I didn't mean it in a bad way, you know. But, and nobody can live up to that. You know, how can you possibly? You know, so if people can just learn to, like, okay, so find, I mean, this is going to be your best friend, but find other friends as well, you know. So it's not like your whole life.
Right. You can't rely on somebody for everything.
Exactly, you know, because it's too much. It's too much. People can't live up to that.
Right.
And people have to understand those expectations, right?
And I think a lot of women now, it's like they think that if I find him, if I get married, that'll solve all my problems. He will make me happy. And it's like the only person who can make you happy is you. And if you're not happy, you shouldn't even be in a relationship.
That's true.
So many people don't understand that.
Yeah. And why do they think in marriage he would make her happy? That's what I don't understand.
Cinderella. Yeah.
If he hasn't made you happy yet, you know, why would he
make
you happy?
The handsome prince will come and take me away from all of this.
Yeah.
Not.
There's a new upcoming Cinderella movie, right?
I can't wait. It's already in my calendar. I want to go with girlfriends and wear crowns.
Really? Really? Wait.
And it's live action.
Yeah.
Live action. It's not cartoon.
Like the next 10 years?
No.
I want to see Cinderella the next 10 years.
Yeah, I would love to see that, actually. What happens to that woman when she gets her prince?
She has 7 dwarves. Anyway, so going back to this. So, yeah, so, I mean, you know, in dating, there are a lot of expectations and stuff. Do you talk about dating in your book as well?
I do. Actually, there's a chapter in there called It's Not You, It's Your Credit Score. And there actually are websites where people date by credit scores. And I know it sounds silly, but in this day and age, women, we need to start being financially responsible for ourselves. You can't be going out shopping. Credit cards are not extra spending money.
That's true.
They're not to go shopping and go get your little Louis Vuittons or whatever it is you're going to have. And then expect someone to come along and, you know, pay for all your bills.
Right.
And maybe I'm in a bubble. I don't know. But that seems to be what I'm hearing a lot lately.
Yeah.
I'm like this, you need to pay your own way and you need to actually be financially responsible. And there are people, men are now looking at that. Because if you get married and you date someone with like a 450 credit score and you try to go get a mortgage, you're screwed.
Right.
You can't marry that.
Right? Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, you know, I mean, if you fall in love with someone, you can't write them off because they don't pay their bills.
Well, or what does it say about them as money. A human being, though, if
no,
they do that? They're irresponsible.
Write them off, but yeah, but bad behavior will not be rewarded.
Right. I would judge somebody because of that.
Come on, it's not irresponsible. I mean, wait till you live a few years in your life and you'll see people go through difficulties.
Yeah, I agree with that, but also you get there by the choices you make. And I have credit, obviously, because I'm a human and I live. So, you know, I have, to me, my credit is so important because that's the thing that's just my specific credit.
Right.
That I can get a car, I can get a house, I can get an apartment. Like, these are the things I can do on my own with nobody else.
Right.
Because of that one score. So that is something that is very important to me to maintain a good credit score.
Right. But why should somebody else's matter to you?
Because says a lot about them.
Marry them. If you're going to marry that person, it becomes your all about you as well.
Yeah.
It's not just them anymore. So that's some of the reasons when women aren't getting married. It's like, well, you need to look at your financial, how you are financially, because you're asking someone to take on your credit score and take on your problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and how many people now are on the second marriage? He has an ex-wife, he has kids, he's paying alimony, he's paying child support, and now you have this credit score and you have this and he has a... Yeah. When is it going to stop for the poor guys?
Right.
Wait, also, Sam, you don't like when people are late, right?
Right.
Okay, so, and that says a lot about them as a human, doesn't it?
Right.
Exactly. So people that don't pay their bills, people that, like, get credit cards and run up their debt because they have no care in the world about any of that.
But that's just part of the people. Many people have, like, you know, unfortunate things happening in their lives. Like,
well, that's
let's
different.
Say, like, medical bills or something. You can't pay them.
That's different. But
a divorce, you know, your husband leaves you.
Hello. I've been through the divorce. I've declared bankruptcy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And well, fine. But that doesn't make you
irresponsible.
But that makes sense.
That makes sense. But I've also come back from that, and I do not have, you know, my credit score is... I don't even know what it is because I don't even use my credit. Everything's paid off.
Right.
It's like
right.
I buy my stuff. It's dead as a cancer.
Right. That's the thing is that do you talk about managing money in your book a little bit?
A little bit. The credit,
a relationship with money, right?
Yeah.
I think it's very important, you know.
I mean,
I know what you're saying, but I would not judge a person based on their... Or maybe it's one factor, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel they're irresponsible and then you look at the credit score and it reinforces that, okay.
Right. Well, I mean, like what she was saying about how there are some women that just run up their credit cards going shopping and then expect some guy to swoop in and pay for that.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying is a negative reflection on that person because for whatever reason, that person lives their life that way with no regard for real things.
That's
going
to be high maintenance in a marriage.
If you make $40,000 or $50,000 a year, you should not be running out and buying a $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 Patek Philippe watch. You know, like,
right.
doesn't.
Or driving a Jaguar.
Right.
That's $800 a month.
Yeah.
Right.
You should live within your means, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So.
Wow, very cool. Now, so I'm looking a little bit on your website and stuff. By the way, we're talking to Jody Labossiere. You guys can check out her website. Go ahead and spell your name for people.
Spell it. It's Jody Labossiere, J-O-D-I, and then L-A, B like boy, O-S-S like Sam, I-E-R-E.
There you go. And if you can't remember that, just Google it, or we'll have our link on the website for your website as well. So I see you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Is that what it is?
Swimwear Illustrated.
Oh, Swimwear Illustrated. Okay.
Which, yes, and that was...
Very cool.
Eugenia Swimwear. So back in the day...
Yeah,
you
were wearing like a flag-like outfit.
The first Canadian international model on their magazine, and they put me in an American flag.
Wow. I know, and it looks great, you know. I mean, so were you like, how old were you at the time?
I was 24 there.
24?
Yes.
Wow. That's still a good age for modeling and stuff, right? I mean, because they say you have to start like at 16, 17, and by the time they're 21, they're out. But obviously not.
No, and I actually, with Eugenia Swimwear, I mean, I still travel with them every year.
Really?
Since I was... Almost, I guess, 18.
Wow. So you still, like, endorse them and things like that?
Well, and their customer base, because I've been with them for so many years, their customer base has been around that long. So when they see the girls, like, some of us have been around forever, since the 80s, and those customers are still buying it and they still see us. So it really is kind of a nice marketing thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, she can wear it.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm wearing the G-strings.
Right.
Because nobody wants to see that. But I look delightful in a cover-up.
So you were in beauty pageants and stuff like that, too. What age did you start participating in those?
I did my first one, because back in Canada, it's not such a big thing.
Uh-huh.
So, but I did one when I was 18, and it was called the Miss Grand Beach. And I entered because someone dared me to.
Really?
And the first prize was a Jeep.
Oh, and I'm wow. Like, hmm. Yeah, you don't need to twist your arm. Huh?
I'm like, there's a Jeep, there's cash, there's this. I mean, my chances are, once we got to the finals, it was like, I have a 1 in 20 chance here. And then I won, wow. So why not? And then
wow. So you got the Jeep.
Yeah, I got the Jeep.
Wow.
So it was a nice little car. My Good mom, yeah, you. That was funny because my mom said, you want to drive a car, you go get one. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, mom. A brand new.
That's awesome. Brand new. And you won it. You didn't even have to pay for it.
Nope. And in Canada, you don't have to pay taxes on your prizes.
Really?
It's tax-free.
What?
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah, it is. But the lottos are always going to be way less. They're never what they are here.
Really?
Wow. I'll pay the taxes and take more.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Well, so and it says you've been to a lot of pageants, right? I mean, have you counted?
Yes. Well, I lost count, but yeah. I've literally won hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Wow.
That's actually how
Where
I got my
Where do you find the time
card.
For it? Oh, really?
Yes.
So you told them, look, I'm like very beautiful. You guys need me here.
It's you know, it's like the Swedish. If the Swedish bikini team shows up at whatever, the Congress is like, come on in.
Yeah, they'll get it, right? So all you needed is your bikini, and that's it.
Pretty much. No, I did it through the modeling and the pageants, and I've done, yes, a lot of pageants, model searches, but they were always fun for me. So it was always something where I would do something in the Bahamas, and I'm like, well, it's December, so I can spend a week in Winnipeg, or I can go to the Bahamas for 10 days and have a trip and see if I win something, and I would, so it would be great.
Very cool. So did you get any cash prizes, too, on those things?
I made a very good living on those.
So you made a good living.
I did, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
It was crazy.
Very cool.
I kind of miss it.
Well, you know, I mean life goes
for
on,
old ladies.
Right? Yeah. Life goes on. No, but you look amazing. I don't know how old you are, but obviously you practice what you preach, and that's the important thing. You know, I mean, you talk about beauty and lifestyle in your book, and you drive the point home by the way you carry yourself, and that's very important. When did you publish the book? When did it come out?
The book came out in Can you believe this? I decided, my publisher sat down with me and said, we need to do this. And I'm like, okay. She goes, well, let's do it in 60 days. I'm like, what? So we literally started July 24th and September 25th.
Uh-huh.
It was out.
What?
Really?
And bestseller. And I literally sat down because I was responsible for the content. And she kept saying, she had this timeline for me of when to have stuff turned in. And I'm like, I can do this. And then finally it was like a week before and I'm like, wow, I have to get about 27,000 words on paper.
Oh, God. So, talk about pressure, huh?
Why was it such a quick turnaround?
That's what she does. She is very good at doing it and getting it out because it's to help with the marketing and to build your brand. And because I really wanted to do something with everything I was doing with aesthetics and being a beauty expert and talking to people. This is just one other thing that's kind of a, you know, and look at this. Here it is. Here's everything about me, my blah, 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 in one little thing. Have at it. So, but yeah, 4 days. 4 days, lots of wine. 96 hours, it was good.
Yeah. Well, cool, because by the time it comes out, though, it's like a baby, right? I mean, you've worked on it, you've put your life into it, and then it comes out and sees daylight.
And I think with me especially, because I am so ADD, like literally it's like squirrel, that if it wasn't that fast where I had to be whatever, I never would have, things get put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. I just start going off in 20 other different directions.
Yeah. So this helps you focus.
She was very good at just, yes.
Yeah. Now, so when did you decide to write the book, or how did you decide to write a book? I mean, not everybody says they have at least one book in them, but not everybody acts on it.
I know. Well, I had a lot of friends and a lot of different people I've worked with over the years, and they would just keep saying, oh my God, you got to write a book. I'm like, oh, stop. They're like, oh, shut up. You have to write a book. You're hysterical. You have to write that down. I'm like, okay. So, and then it was just, I was at a function, a networking event with other women, eWomen Network, and I ran into this gal again, and our paths had crossed. We kept meeting and doing stuff. She kept saying, and then just that day, I had a wild hair up my butt. And I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Wow.
So.
Cool. And how do you find a publisher that's actually interested?
Well, I was actually very lucky because in the group I'm with, in the eWomen Network, it's all women entrepreneurs. So there are lots of women, and the whole thing is lift as you climb, and they're helping other women in business. It's all women helping women in business. So she's a publisher, and she was part of the group.
Okay.
And so when we spoke, she kept saying to me, you need to do this, you need to do this.
Wow, very cool.
And so she approached, and then I just kind of finally said, okay, you know, when you're right, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
Good for you. So, I mean, you've done a lot of things, you know. You've done TV and radio, too. Were you like a beauty expert or something?
I did a radio show on Global Broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
I had, what was it? Let me say this about that.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of a fun, that was like my rant. I got to just rant an hour a week.
Uh-huh. That's fun.
It was. Like anything. People in on plane, whatever it was that week. Whatever I was really annoyed about.
Yeah.
So, and then TV was a lot of, I did the shopping channels because I've been in the beauty industry for so long and I worked a lot of different companies and helped to create different products and I was in sales that I actually opened up accounts on the shopping channels and then I actually became the person to represent the products on the shopping channels.
Oh, wow.
So
very cool. Mm-hmm. So you've gone in a lot of different directions, which is very cool. You know, I mean,
right.
you're an ambitious woman, which is cool. And it's very refreshing, you know, because you were talking about the women that expect a man to pay for their stuff and that, you know, you're the total opposite. You know, you're like, I'm taking life by the horns and I'm going to do it my way. And that's an empowered woman. So,
And I'm also very fortunate to have a partner who supports me in that.
Right.
So he's very, I mean, God bless him because I'm a handful.
That's cool. How did you guys meet?
It was just through a friend.
Really?
I was living in Burbank and uh-huh. I was moving down to Orange County and she said, I know this guy. And I'm like, no more of your guys, because I dated one of her guys, and I'm like, never again. So she kept bugging me, and finally, four wow. months later, we went out, and within 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, you can go.
Wow, yeah. Very cool. It's nice when you hit it off right away, huh? I mean, in the first 5 minutes, you know, hey, I like this person.
Yeah, well, you know? He was tall, dark, and handsome. He was like,
that's all it takes, huh? Well, so was the guy in Fifty Shades of Grey, and look at him, you know. I mean, he totally abused her.
Yeah, mine not so much. Yeah.
Good.
I haven't even seen that movie yet. I don't know. Or read
I've
the
seen
book.
It.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't read the book.
I haven't done
you're not
either.
Missing much. Let
That's
me
what everyone
you.
Says.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends, you know. I mean, I think what it does is it's liberated some women who have been maybe too uptight sexually or something, you know. And I think this kind of like put it in the mainstream for them.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wow, let me discover new things. But it's like, why do you have to go through all these props and dungeons and stuff just to get pleasure, you know? I mean, find someone. You know, find someone, and then you don't need to search for these things. But you know, I mean, even he told you how screwed up he was in the movie.
Did
you know?
He?
Yeah.
He's damaged.
Yeah.
Things have happened to him that
extremely
caused him
damaged.
To become the way he is.
Oh, okay.
So
see, it all makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually how life goes. So.
Well, yeah, you're not born somebody who was into this stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all the three books are back in the bestseller list on top, as usual.
Good for her.
Good yeah. for her.
What can Damn I tell it. You? You know, how do you, yeah, how, I mean, it's like one in a million, you know, like the author of Harry Potter yeah. and E.L. James, you know, from 50 Shades. I'm sure they never know it's going to hit it big like that, you know.
You don't. And you don't know. Hey, mine can still hit it big. You never know.
There you go. Why not?
I mean, there's
it's
no reason why
book.
A million people can go out and buy it next week.
Exactly.
Or next year.
Do you have plans for a second book?
You know, I probably will. I've actually said to my publisher already, I'm thinking next year I want to do another one. So,
hey, if you can knock it out like you did this one.
But I just need 4 days and a case of wine.
Yeah, there you go.
Done.
But no, I mean, the book is really cool. You know, I'm going to read it and because I sometimes enjoy books that are directed at women because it helps me understand them better, you know.
Yeah.
But this is funny here. And that's the thing. I mean, you write funny stuff, and the book is cool. The website is also a very fun-looking website. So, You know, I mean, you really know what you're doing. You know, I really admire that.
I look like I do.
Well, you know,
fake it till you make it.
At least you're able to fool me, so that's pretty good. You know?
Can you tell me about this 100 list that you have in here?
I have Oh yeah, I love my 100 list because I hate the bucket lists or things you have to do or life goals. It's like I don't do that. Here's a list of 100 things. Get them done. And when you've done them, I don't even care if it's get up and walk your dog or whatever. Do them. And once you've done that, celebrate because you've actually accomplished something.
That's true.
Because otherwise we have these lists and all these goals that we're trying to... It's like, are you kidding me?
And then we feel like we've failed ourselves. Right? It's like, wait, right. You set that goal in the first place.
It's like, I suck. Right. But if you can get up and do 100 things and get it done, you're good to go. And then do another list.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, there you go. She's good with lists. I mean, that's how she lives.
Sometimes
yeah.
I'll write things I already did just to check it off.
So do I. It's okay.
I just really like
Do you have like special apps and stuff for that?
I have a lot. There's a lot of things happening here.
As I say, there's an app for that.
There is. I mean, I love it.
Wow. Very cool. I see you have like a workshop, but that's like in November, right? Is it like past?
I did have one. I have to plan another one. They're driving me crazy. I am going to do a confidence and beauty workshop.
Uh-huh.
So dates to be determined. But it will be probably an all-day workshop where we just basically go in. I teach people how to walk, how to stand, how to interview, how to do makeup, how to do these things. Because with women, a lot of it's not because they don't want to do it. It's because they just don't know how.
Mm.
You know, planning with makeup and putting that stuff on, you have to learn how to do that.
Right.
It's not just... It's not just this thing built into women. So
it's true.
And there's a lot of women that struggle.
I tweeted last night that I have graduated from burning myself with the curling iron to now spraying myself in the face with my hairspray. Right. I am special when it comes to being a girl.
Aren't we all?
This is actually yesterday's makeup.
I was going to ask you.
It's last night's. I washed my face and I wash around it like an owl.
You're like, I'm just going to leave this on.
Yeah, because otherwise it gets in my eyeball and it hurts. Yeah.
No, it's true. But there's so many things, and some women think it just takes forever to get up and get out, and it really doesn't. It's just, you know, it's about taking pride in yourself and how you look. It's not vain, it's not vanity, and it's not being a girly girl. It's just, especially if you are someone, if you're doing something, people will look at you, and if you're trying to get a job, if you're trying to get a client, if you're trying to do something, they're going to take one look and go, you look like hell.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for me
right.
next?
It's true, actually. One of my best friends is a VP at a production company, and her eyebrow waxer was the one to say to her, listen, you need to start wearing makeup. Because if you want to be treated as a VP, you need to look like a VP.
Really?
Stop rolling into work like you don't care.
Right? What is it they say? Dress for the job you want, not the one you have.
Yeah.
And then I say, that's why I wound up in a disciplinary meeting dressed as Catwoman.
I want to be Catwoman.
I know.
Wow.
But not in the office, apparently.
Not in the office.
Whatever. They don't know.
All right. Well, Jody, give everybody again the title of the book, In Your Face, and then the website again.
Yes. Well, thank you. The book is In Your Face, The Badass Lifestyle Guide for the Empowered Woman. And the website is jodylabossier.com.
Right. And you're a lot of fun. The website is cool. You're funny. You're interesting. You also have a blog on here, I see.
I do.
Do you? How often do you write?
I try to do it once a week. So I've been kind of a little bad lately because I'm here today and I'm supposed to have it up. So I might have to type later today.
But there's a lot of cool stuff here. I mean, like tips for showing up and being presentable in business.
Confidence, makeup. Yeah. I have a skincare line that I actually have my own. So I have talk about that in there, different products and all that fun
stuff. I need the anti-age. Do you have products for that?
I can make you look like an embryo.
Oh, my God. I would love to be an embryo again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sign me up.
See, that's the thing. And she's 30 years old. What am I supposed to say? Your age hasn't gotten your way yet.
You're nothing yet.
No, I just turned 30 and I was like, anti-aging.
Wait till the 40s come around. And it's like,
well, that's what I think she's like just looking forward and anticipating it, right?
It's preventative measures.
Exactly. My aunt is 50 and she looks like she's 37. So I want to look like that forever. Wow.
You have the genes then. Thanks.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, Jody, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you have any last thing you want to, like an idea or something to leave our listeners with? I mean, you just did, you know, you were talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Two things. Or actually one thing. If you're going in somewhere, ladies, work high heel appropriateness. make sure they're not the 7-inch heels, no more than 3 inches when you walk into a meeting.
Wow.
Ever.
You see, and people don't think about these things.
And make sure there's no lipstick on your teeth.
Good. So, well, good thing we have phones now with selfies so you can see what you look like. You don't need a mirror.
And make sure you... There's an app for that. There is no reason to post a bad selfie ever.
Right.
Why are people posting selfies?
Right.
Well, Jody, there's so much more to talk about. You'll have to come back sometime.
Sure.
And you're a lot of fun. Everybody, go out and get the book. It's amazing. And
it's
if I'm going to read
Amazon.com.
Yeah. And if I'm going to read it, then women should definitely read it.
Yep.
And
I'm going to make my list today.
Yeah. And you started reading, so there's another book for you.
Yep. Yeah. I just started reading.
Never too late.
No, that's a thing on my list to read. Well, there you go.
Cool. All right. Well, everybody, have a safe trip back home.
Thank you.
Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.